Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
What's up? Yeah, so my name is Jay Carls. I'm one of the co-founders of a brand called Midday Squares, where we've created the first functional chocolate bar. So imagine chocolate bar, protein bar, have a baby, but you get rid of all the junk that's in protein bars and it's clean label ingredients. We're based in Montreal, Canada. And but we're a multinational brand in both Canada and the United States. So it's been a crazy journey, and I'm grateful to be here. And I'm also 30 years old, if that makes a difference.
Awesome. So how did you guys get the idea for this company?
Yeah. So my sister, my brother-in-law and I are partners. So it's a family business, but we didn't go into business because we're family. We went into business because the three of us complement each other's skill sets tremendously. So, you know, what one's good at, the other one's not. And what the other one's good at, the other one is great at. So that's a big important factor. And yes, it's enjoyable to celebrate with family, but it's also wild to go through crazy, you know, adversities with them as well. But we started this because my sister's actually making this snack, this chocolate bar, this functional chocolate bar for my brother-in-law really early on, like in 2015 time. And she was making it as a hobby snack for him to take to work every day and literally enjoy a 2 p.m. snack that's indulgent, but also functional in the sense it got protein, fibers, and all that jazz. And she did that. And he took it like every day to work and they loved it. His office loved it. He freaked for it. And they didn't think twice about it. But 3 years later, in 2018, they looked at a report that showed that dark chocolate was, or sorry, late 2017, they looked at a report that was showing that dark chocolate was growing year over year pretty quickly, and that vegan or plant proteins was also growing really fast. And in my brother-in-law, who's a software engineer, was like, yo, data, light bulb moment, you're making a baby of these two massive growth categories. That means there's going to be a natural product market fit pull. And that's when they decided to commercialize the product. And then they came to me in July of 2018. And they're like, hey, we've got this chocolate bar, healthy chocolate bar, unbelievable. We just don't know how to blow it up. And we need you to be the one that blows this brand out, makes noise, builds community. And to me, at first, I was turned off because I was just like, I love you guys as entrepreneurs and I love the chocolate bar. But at the end of the day, food is a very hard world to win in. You know, you got 30 to 40,000 units, different SKUs or different products on a store shelf. And they rotate all the time. So there's so much competition and very little emotional connection, more based on function and price. So I said to them, I said, well, I'll only join on one condition. And the condition was that if we're going to build this chocolate bar brand to be a very big company, we are going to need to make an emotional connection with the consumer. We are going to need to connect very deeply with the consumer, not just on the product side of the taste, the textures, all that stuff, but on the side of how does the brand make them feel? Does it make them feel anything? Do they feel attached or do they not feel attached to it? So I said to my partners, the way we're going to do it is we're going to treat this business not like a chocolate bar business, but like a record label business, meaning we are going to act like a rock band as if we are, you know, doing tours, grabbing content, telling a story. But instead of selling records, we sell a chocolate bar. So if you want to support us, all you need to do is, if you're a fan, buy the chocolate bar for $2.49. So the strategy was film everything, document everything, show the good, the bad, the ugly behind the scenes of how we build the business, not the chocolate bar, but how we build the actual business, all the moving pieces, the drama, the scandals, et cetera, and show it. And that's what we did. And that was my idea. So I came in as the third founder and we launched Midday Squares August 2018 with that idea in place. And we haven't looked back since. It's been 5.5 years.
Awesome. So as of today, you mentioned that you're a multinational business. Are you mostly in retail or e-commerce? Like, what does that look like for you?
So we started 100% e-commerce, and now we are 70% retail business, 30% e-commerce, meaning that, you know, some of our bigger accounts are Target, Whole Foods, Sprouts. In the US and Canada, we got like, you know, like Sobeys, Metro, Loblaws, which are the big ones. But we realized because we're a refrigerated item, we're a refrigerated snack because there's no preservatives or additives. We actually, it's a lot harder to do the supply side on e-com. It melts. We still do it. Don't get me wrong. We figure out a way to do it, but it's a little bit more expensive. So what we do is instead of that, we work with our retail partners to be within like, you know, 1 to 5 miles from every American or every Canadian, more or less, to get this product. That means you can go buy and support us for $2.49 instead of buying two boxes, which is a lot more expensive, right? So we ended up moving to a retail model and or hybrid, let's call it. And it's working. There's a lot of volume that comes from retail. When you go work with a store like Target, you know, you're talking mass volumes, huge.
For sure. So I guess like if somebody lives, for example, like I'm in Texas, right? And it gets pretty hot here in the summer. Are you still shipping out here in the summertime or what does that look like?
So we'll still ship. We basically ship 1 day to 2 day express with like UPS or like FedEx. And we basically put a insulation and then a reusable ice pack to keep it cold. The bars itself can be out of the fridge for 5 days, no problem. It's just, if it's directly in the sun, it will melt because this is chocolate. And again, there's no preservative in the bar to hold it all together. So we believe in just using real food. So we do deal with a couple of melting situations, but at the end of the day, like, it's still worth it to have it up because some customers really like to just buy online rather than at retail. So that gives them an easy way to do it.
For sure. So when you first started, like how did you really scale this company? Was it, you know, running ads or organic, like, you know, Instagram or social media? Like where did you document this journey to grow this community that you've, you know, built out now in 2024?
So organic content has been a huge play. I think, you know, last year we drove anywhere from 40 to 60 million organic views. And we don't spend that much on that team internally. Like it's right now it's one person doing it and then a manager or so two. But early on, we did the organic, which was working. And we also supplemented that with some influencer work and a little bit of paid Facebook, paid Instagram. And today we do a lot more on the influencer and organic and then paid ads on this as the least amount. So for us, our vision is to, again, the strategy is simple. Make you a fan before you try the product. That way you have a bias when you go to the store. You're like, hey, I know that brand. I love them. It's like I'm buying from a friend or a family or a neighbor rather than, hey, I'm buying this chocolate bar, right? And for us, the way we do that is just through storytelling, emotional storytelling that's authentically us and it's relatable. So I think that more brands today, you know, whether it's through their advertisement, their paid ads or their influencers or their organic content, must tell an authentic story to the brand. Authentic story of the brand to the consumer, because otherwise you're not going to stand a chance in this world of the attention economy. Consumers don't care that your chocolate bar, that has 6 grams of protein, 4 grams of fiber in terms of marketing. They'll do that at the store. What they care about is, are you entertaining me? Are you educating me? Are you adding value to my life? Are we connecting? And if you're not doing any of those, you're done. They're going to X, block, potentially unsubscribe, unfollow with the snap of their finger. So it's a very unique time where you need to become almost like a TV producer in terms of the way you think in terms of marketing.
For sure. So obviously that you have this, you know, organic connection, but in 2024, you also have the world of AI. So how do those two things, you know, come into play for your business?
So we're starting to use AI in a lot of things slowly, not full on board, but just certain things like, you know, different languages for the videos, because we're in different, you know, we're in a place where there's a bilingual country we live in. So it's trilingual in some countries and et cetera. But so using AI for that, we're also using AI for some other things in terms of, you know, editing and things like that. And then also helping continue to humanize as we scale customer experience. And then over time, we would like to use more AI on the actual like back end of the business. So like the supply chain side and potentially manufacturing if we can. But AI is definitely going to come into play 100% more and more. And we're getting more familiar with it. We're not ignoring it. We're trying to embrace as much as we can. But it has not eliminated jobs in our company. It has just helped enhance the person's job and make it easier for them. So that's a big thing. And I think it's important for anyone that's out there to at least get familiar with AI. I don't think you need to necessarily be an expert or that jazz, but you should be familiar with what the possibilities are.
So I guess, are you currently using AI for your customer experience, like, you know, chatting, things like that?
I don't believe we are. I think we're looking into it though. I'd have to figure out, I'd have to ask my customer team. I actually have zero clue, but I know that it's something that we're interested in. That being said, we are very pro humanization in terms of like the interaction with the customer, and AI is getting closer and closer, in my opinion, to that humanization, but it's still not where I would like to be. And I think we got a bit of time there, but we will start to, like I said, slowly melange, as they say in French, melange.
For sure. So obviously now that we're wrapping up Q1 of 2024, so for 2024 to be successful for you, like what are some of your big objectives for this year?
So for us, it's a mixed play. We're launching an innovation in the next couple of months. So a new flavor, let's call it, and then multi different formats of the current flavors. So we're launching a lot of actual SKU increase. So the idea of executing that at the store level is super important for us. So we need to earn our space that we deserve in the store, but we also got to make sure the product's in stock, it gets there. So that's going to be a big mountain this year, but we're good. We're ready for that. Second, we'll probably add a little bit of distribution to increase a little bit in different types of retailers. And then third, it's just, we continue to focus on being operationally excellent. You know, 2024 is the year that we become profitable. So this is a super exciting year for us. You know, we'll cross that chasm, which we've been waiting for a long time. And in CPG, it's very uncommon to cross that chasm early on. So that's a big moment for us. And then I think end of 24 to end of 25 is really where we're going to press on the gas in terms of, you know, investment dollar and resources into the growth of the business. So more marketing and sales rather than the operational excellence. The operational excellence and quality and safety is this year to become world class. And then the next year is press on the gas, put the oil on the fire and go from there.
For sure. But I guess like once you're in the retail stores, how do you like double down to make sure that, you know, obviously that you have like your strategy that you've built this following, but like for people who aren't familiar with your brand, do you do like in-store samplings or things like that? Like, you know, what does that look like?
So we don't do much of the in-store sampling, depending on the retailer. We might do it depending on how they would like the investment that we put into their retailer. If that's what they believe is the best, their customer will listen to them and we'll do it. But for us, a big one is influencer work. So we work with, like, you know, our demographic of influencers, which is typically right now anywhere from 25 to 60 year old females that like better for you products. And we have an army of those people that really love Midday Squares and talk about it at retail, where it is at their favorite stores and all that jazz. So that's a really big play to move volume. The second play is making sure the merchandise in store is the easiest possible for the consumer, meaning stocked, fully stocked with back stock in the back. The merchandising is visible. So it's not like in the left corner of the fridge. No. And then third is build a deep relationship with both the management on the store levels. So all the stores, the clerks and the headquarter, the category managers and buyers. So if we do those four things, then we'll have success this year at retail. And as we continue to do organic content, we get the viewage, the awareness, the fandom, which then typically they'll go on our website and they'll look at the store locator page. Where can I find Midday Squares? And then they go buy it. So our store locator page, as we create more content and more fandom, actually goes up.
That's awesome. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company, or I guess joined this company?
How fucking hard it is to build a business in consumer packaged goods. You know, the odds are tremendously stacked against you. But I think from a more positive standpoint, I think what I would have loved to know prior to this is there's a lot of noise out there. And if you listen to all the noise, you'll get nowhere. And I didn't know that. So anyone that was in the industry, I would listen to. And at the time, it would get me like, oh, analysis paralysis. I'd be like, oh, this person says that person says that, but they did this. And next thing you know, you're not following your gut anymore. And you built the business because you're following your gut because you believe in something. So it takes away the belief because you start to get molded by everyone else. That's not to say to have people in your corner, advisors, mentors, all that jazz, but you need to have such a strong backbone if you're going to take that information or advice and still truly believe in yourself as much as you can. If you truly believe that's the right move, then go with it. But if you don't, then don't. So I think blocking out the noise was a very important lesson I learned throughout the time, because even people that care and love you will create noise and distraction, not because they mean to, but because they don't realize it. And again, pick your surrounding very, very carefully, because it will make a huge difference in both the moments that are amazing and the moments that are horrible.
For sure. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for Midday Squares?
So I would say to revenue growth 100% and seeing our new flavor and our formats loaded within all of our retail. That would be the two big things. And gross margin potentially crossing over 60% would be the goal.
Awesome. And we're rooting for you guys. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact.
So definitely if you want to buy Midday Squares, go on our website, www.middaysquares.com. You can either buy it online on our own website, or you can check the store locator who has the stock. And again, you know, Target, Whole Foods, Sprouts, Fresh Time, there's a bunch of them, Central Markets. You know, we have many stores, but again, it's located in the refrigerated section, not where the typical bars are. And if you want to add us on social media and watch our entertaining reality show on entrepreneurship, go ahead, TikTok and Instagram and LinkedIn are the platforms. And then for me personally, if you ever want to connect with me, you know, talk to me, all that jazz, add me on LinkedIn, Jake Carls, happy to engage if I can help you with anything or I can learn from you. That's my vision. So I appreciate y'all listening. Thanks for giving us a voice, Dan. It means a lot. And I hope people enjoyed it.
Awesome. Thank you, Jake, for joining us. All right. Bye.